We're day drinking. We're day drinking. We're day drinking. Day drinking.
Welcome to the day drinking debate. This is a kind of like a spinoff of our normal bar banter podcast that we just want to kind of shoot the shit, talk about some things that we normally don't get to talk about on the podcast, things that kind of interest us. And yeah, so we're just going to kind of kick it off like we normally do. Benjamin Trimmer, what are you drinking?
I'm drinking a little Centinela tequila on ice. And that's it. It was on my bar. I mean, it was at the bar and I poured it in.
There you go.
Hey, and I appreciate it.
And it was, it's good. Rick, what are you drinking?
I'm finishing off my local brews tonight of my Dirty Beaches by Scofflaw and the Taco Tuesday by Monday Night Brewing.
Nice.
There you go.
They're delicious. Travis, what you got over there? What you drinking?
I am drinking Bullet Bourbon and Cherry Coke. Because okay. We are a Cherry Coke household. I don't mind regular Coke, but we are just a big fan of Cherry Coke. So we just went with that. And I was like, let's switch it up.
I appreciate that stance.
Yeah, dude.
I actually am doing Cherry Coke as a chaser.
There you go.
Yeah.
Lauren has always been a huge fan of the Cherry Dr. Pepper, if I'm not mistaken.
Indeed, so she was. Yeah.
I remember that from the times of yesteryear. Guys, tonight. Today, not tonight, today, because it's day drinking, not 9 o'clock at night.
Drinking for a while.
Yeah. Today, we are talking tailgating. It is baseball season as the time that we are recording this, and tailgates are in full effect. It is kind of tailgate season, so to speak, and I just want to get to know your tailgate preferences. So to start, what's everyone's favorite or go-to tailgate food? Those could be two different things, by the way. Favorite and go-to, those could be two different things.
Oh yeah, I was about to say they are.
Yeah, I'll jump out there. And for a guy who doesn't love baseball as much, Rick, it's still soccer season, right?
It is.
And for me, I'm getting amped up. I'm already planning my tailgates for the fall for football. But yeah, so go-to foods and favorite foods. I'm going to hit you up with one of each of those. For me, the go-to food for a tailgate is always going to be a bratwurst. And it's not my favorite food, but if I've got a burger, here. A hot dog, a bratwurst, a chicken, whatever, if you lay all that food out for me, I'm starting with that brat. You know, you don't have a whole lot of social party situations where you find them, but heck, you go to a tailgate and they're there a lot of time. So that's the go-to. That's like the thing that draws me in first. But honestly, as far as like the favorite food, just probably because it's at every tailgate, is I love, and this is a little generic, but I love side items. Like, sometimes I'll eat one bratwurst and then I'll fill my plate with just side items, like a little potato salad, a couple of deviled eggs. And I don't even need the burger. I don't eat the hot dog. I'll get one bratwurst and then I just want a giant thing of side items. And that may be a little generic, but honestly, it's like my favorite thing because usually people bring a ton of different ones and I kind of want to try them all. So
you want the smorgasbord.
Yeah. Well, and usually the side items are like homemade, you know, you didn't homemade the frozen burger patty, but you made, you know, the deviled eggs. Like, I want to try your homemade shit.
So but I'm going to tag off you here because when it comes to the bratwurst, I like how you said it. There's not a lot of social places for it. So what was the question? Go-to and favorite? Yeah. So it's a go-to for me in terms of ease, convenience, but also I dare say a staple. Like if I go to your tailgate and it's not an option, I'm going to have a frowny face.
If hot dogs are the option and not bratwurst, is that the same thing or is that?
No, it's
okay.
Not.
Just I want to make that clear.
I'm glad you asked. No, it's not.
You want to bite in and the casing kind of just like squirts juice directly in your eye. Yeah.
Yeah. And to the point where I almost have to plan my tailgating shirt because I know the grease is going to spew onto my potential white polo. And maybe I, you know, wear a darker color that day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But favorite, I'll be honest. If I look at myself in the mirror, I am a low tier
stud.
Well, thank you. a lower tier tailgater. If I am putting it on as we speak today, my tailgate setup is not phenomenal. So I really enjoy the people that bring like their smokers and stuff and just like will throw some ribs out there.
Yep.
So I think my favorite is bougie. You know, like an item that your average tailgater would not have. So ribs, maybe wings. I don't think wings quite because people don't usually make them there from what I've seen. It's usually like brought and ordered
right.
In terms of making, like if you're going to make some like ribs or something like that, that's going
to
be my favorite.
So let me ask you this. Are you, if you were going to do a tailgate and you had to pick between one, would you rather the parking lot smoker tailgate or the, I'm going to call it Preakness State Stakes Kentucky Derby tailgate where they all like sunflower dress and like super bougie tailgate food?
The second wait, food wise or atmosphere?
Food wise, like give the finger me, sandwiches and
yeah,
the,
give, no,
and
give
the
me the
shrimp
smoker.
Towers.
Okay, no, give me the smoker.
You lose too much. I mean, I know just food wise, yeah, okay, I'll take a steak over a piece of barbecue chicken, but
yeah,
you lose way too much on the whole grand scheme of things if you go that
it's way. Getting in the way of what I came there to do.
At
that point, we are changing the goal to me.
That's fair. I think the three best tailgate foods have been mentioned. And my favorite tailgate food was going to be ribs, right? Mm. And then Ben said bratwurst. And I was like, God damn it. That might be
can't fight it.
That might be it. That like a good brat with like a slightly toasted bun and a little like I like the spicy mustard on it.
Yes.
Yeah. It's hard to beat and we're not deciding the best. That's just one of my favorites. But if I'm talking go-to, and it doesn't have to necessarily be cooked there, but I'm you guys know I'm a sucker for wings. I will put down 50.
I do love wings. Yeah.
Like just keep them coming, like smoke them, fry them, whatever. Just put them in my mouth. They don't even have to be like well sauced. I just want them in mass quantity. So
before we switch topics on that note, Travis, because to me, wings is always like a surprise at a tailgate.
Mm-hmm.
Is there, and I don't exactly know how to phrase this, but essentially is there no such thing as a bad wing at a tailgate?
I know what you're saying, but I can't say I don't want to be definitive here. I don't want to deal in absolutes.
Sure.
Like there will always be someone making really shitty wings somewhere. Like
right.
It's going to happen. And I will like if they're super dry, overcooked, and tiny, I will politely decline.
Okay. So there is a point you will decline wings that okay, that's fair. Like I may not go back for seconds. But I don't
know. I'll eat the five or four that I got, but I'm like,
all right,
I can't do this.
We're aligned. All right.
Yeah.
You know, for a tailgate setting, I would say the wing that probably bothers me the most, because at a tailgate, I'm very social. I'm up and I don't eat when I sit or sit when I eat. Like I never sit down. So I think the wing that would bother me the most is the one that's just drenched in sauce. And like, I can't go talk to you and hold it. Cause it's just dripping everywhere. And then Rick, like you said, it's all over my shirt. And like, I prefer like the semi-sauced or even, you know, a solid dry wing, as long as it's, you know, like you said, Travis, a good size.
Well, when I say dry, I mean like there's no moisture in the, like it's right. Like it's inside was
not
cooked too long
rub,
dry.
Yeah. Like dry. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
I'm okay with a clean wing, you know, a naked wing, if you will. Those are always fine.
I will.
Guys, we've talked food. Let's move on to drinky drinks. What's your go-to, what's your staple tailgate beverage?
It's my security blanket. I don't remember without it. It's a Blue Moon for me.
Uh-huh.
Now, I don't necessarily expect that from tailgates. But if I'm going to drink, I am bringing a supply of Blue Moon. So I think if I'm talking like the average kind of beer is probably some sort of lager, like Corona kind of thing. But if I'm hosting, there's a Rick cooler. There's 24 Blue Moons in it.
There you go.
Yeah, I'll go. This is pretty easy for me. It's a little different because, and we're going to talk about timing of tailgates later, but if it is a morning tailgate, like for a 12 o'clock game, like a noon game, I'm starting off the first hour, rocking some mimosas, and then I'm jumping in to my other drinks. Yeah, you know, that 7 to 8 a.m. when you're setting up, two or three mimosas.
Yeah.
And then for me, tailgates is either seltzers or Mick Ultras. Like, I don't do any other event around where I want to just pound, but I cannot get that mentality out of me when I'm at a tailgate. I want to pound 8, 10, 12 seltzers, Mick Ultras. I don't want heavy cocktails. Blue Moon actually would be a pretty solid idea. I don't know if I've ever had a Blue Moon at a tailgate, but I'm kind of digging that now.
A little orange juice, make a beer mosa.
Yeah, yeah. But at the end of the day, if I had to pick one, it would be seltzers. The last couple of years, that's been my go-to tailgate. I get a different kind every single time, but I'm crushing seltzers at tailgates.
I like it. I like it. I think in my older age, as I've said on this in the last couple of episodes, probably beating it to death, it's going to be like a Miller Lite. But if I'm thinking of like, man, if I'm sitting at a tailgate, what do I want? What I want to consume, not like what I should consume. It's some sort of bourbon and Coke or something like that. Whiskey and Coke, where I'm getting the caffeine. I'm getting the alcohol. It's iced down. That would probably be my favorite thing to drink at a tailgate. But I mean, I think all three of us can clearly say that all three of us, if we're at a tailgate and you just hand us something, we will probably drink it and be okay with it in that tailgate mindset.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
In a tailgate, alcohol is better than no alcohol.
Correct. Yeah. The occasional Jello shot.
Are you a flask person? Or
I am.
I mean, not in general, but at
say yes. I do have, I mean, I have one up here right now. So I enjoy having my own secret stash of something. And I'm pretty responsible with how quickly I consume liquor at this phase in my life. So it's not so bad. Favorite tailgate games, a staple at any tailgate. You have to have some sort of form of entertainment where it keeps the people at your tailgate occupied before the actual game. What is your favorite tailgate game?
It's got to be, for me, it's cornhole is my favorite.
Mm-hmm.
And also something that makes me very angry. People from Chicago call it bags. So if anybody listening calls it bags.
Bags.
Bags. Culture yourself. But so that and obviously willing to be told, not a game, but a toss around object also needs to be present. So the game I expect to see is cornhole, and I expect some sort of toss around item, be it a football, frisbee, baseball. You know, I would assume if I'm at a football tailgate, there's a football. Yeah. But I'm not going to be mad if there's not. No, that's not true. I will be. I'll be upset. If I'm at a football tailgate, there's no football. I'll be upset.
You have to have at least you don't have to use it. There has to be a football available.
Right.
Yeah. So I want to jump in because I thoroughly enjoy the toss around game in an open space. It has to depend to me on the location a little bit, which is why I can't say that's my favorite, because a lot of tailgates nowadays, you have to like
park. Yeah, sure.
Go to the parking lot. You have to pay for it's a tailgate only zone. And I don't want asshole person who doesn't know his own strength to just huck it and then someone knock over someone else's grill, sure, whatever. So I'm like, that's fun, but can't be my favorite. only, I have to say this out loud because this is one of my favorite things to do, but it's not my favorite game. The only reason why I like cornhole, because I don't like the actual like activity of it. I think it's really boring. I like that the fact that my opponent is next to me and I can do my brand of talking shit, which is like slowly complimenting them, working my way up from like, oh, that's a nice shirt, to like, man, those pants make your ass look so good. Like, bro. And it just like really get in their head. Just like, and eventually they're like, I know what you're doing. Stop it.
My ass looks good, Travis.
Yeah, I do all the time. That's not true. But you also don't have an ass, so that's fine.
Yeah, it's true.
But my favorite tailgate game, and because it's localized and there's a target, I really like Can Jam. Is my favorite.
Can Jam's good. Can Jam's good.
That's my favorite. Like, there's like, you're not usually overthrowing it. You don't have to worry about like chasing it down too often. But like, give me some Can Jam all day, man.
Love it. Well, and the Can Jam solves both problems. I mean, you bring Can Jam and you have your toss around object and your game. Like, so boom.
And my opponent's next to me. It's basically bags. Yeah. I said bags. It's basically bags, but with a frisbee. Ben, what's your favorite?
My favorite traditional tailgate game is super easy. I mean, I love Can Jam. I've been throwing a frisbee around forever. Cornhole's fun. But no, my favorite tailgate game has always been washer toss. And I've been playing washer toss for as long as I can remember. And Travis, you mentioned trying to keep it a little bit more like, you know, smaller area. I don't know. It's just, it's one of those games that you don't see around a lot, but it's a lot of fun to play. And you don't have to like, it's, you don't have to find all this space to set up cornhole boards.
Right.
And I don't know, it's fun and it's small and it's very easy to travel with. You know, you can throw it in the corner of your trunk as opposed to trying to figure out how you're going to fit two cornhole boards in your trunk. But as far as the non-traditional tailgate game, sorry guys, best thing to play at a tailgate is beer pong. We still play it today at tailgates.
It's bring an extra. Well, I mean, I wouldn't even call it non-traditional. I would call.
Well, it's a party game that just is so much fun to play at tailgates.
Yeah. Because I'm upset everybody you gets apologize involved. To me.
It's one of those things take that mainly be four people playing, but literally everybody at the tailgate is watching you guys play. So
I'm on board with that. I'm not mad again, but to me, the beer pong is like wings. If you have it, I am pleasantly surprised, but I'm not going to your tailgate expecting it.
Right. I like it.
And that's a great segue into our next topic, which is expectations of the host. You're going to a tailgate. What items are you expecting the host to have? Obviously, I would like to assume that the host is not bringing every single food item. They may not be bringing the game. They may not be bringing any accessories. They may not be bringing a TV or a tent. There's like lots of different pieces to a tailgate. But obviously, the host has to bring, I'm going to use the word majority, but I mean like has like the biggest presence of stuff. Doesn't have to be 51% to 70, whatever that is.
Let me grab this from you because I think we're on the same wavelength. If the person is the host of the tailgate, I am assuming you're bringing the grill or cooking item. If you're saying you're hosting, and then to tag along with that, I'm assuming like everyone's bringing a side. And it's previously kind of discussed, like, hey, everyone bring sides, but you don't have to pay for it all. Like, we can give you money. The host is supplying the main dish. Because if you are bringing the grill or whatever, I'm assuming this is how the conversation goes. Travis is like, yo, I make a mean set of ribs. Sunday, let's meet up. We're going to the game. He knows what meat he wants. He knows how to cook it. He brings the meat, and then whoever's going reimburses, you know, whatever our cut of the meat is, and then bring sides and beer with it. But that's what I'm expecting. If you're the host, grill/cooking and the main dish.
You brought up something I hadn't considered. And first of all, I want to ask the question before I jump in. When you say main dish, I assume like you only mentioned ribs, but like a lot of times it's just hot dogs and hamburgers.
Yeah, whatever the meat is.
So we're going to say entrees.
Okay.
With the parentheses meat. S. Yes.
I'm going to say meats. I expect you to have the meat.
Yeah. And that includes, I think most of the time includes any sort of additional things in which to either eat or serve.
Sure. Ketchup, so, mustard,
condiments,
yep.
Buns, plates, yep. Knives, forks, something like, hey, if you want ribs, you're gonna need yep. plates. You gotta have plates, napkins. If it's hot dogs, hamburgers, you gotta have buns, ketchup, mustard, plates, napkins.
Like, you're responsible for, or at least you hooked up with somebody else coming and told them that they needed to bring it. Like, you are responsible for making sure it gets there as the host. 100%.
I'm not mad if you, as the host, I'm going to roll my eyes at the text message, but I'll do it and won't bring it up.
Right.
What if you text me and say, what can I bring?
That's different. Even then, I'm expecting you to say, like, hey, I forgot a bag of ice, or like, we have this sides covered, maybe something like this.
Yeah.
Not necessarily like, can you bring your garage?
Here's two things to tag on to that. One, as the host, I'm going to make sure there are enough entrees for most palates. I would say 80% of palates. I am not responsible for bringing your veggie burgers, right? Like, I want veggie burgers, I'll bring them. That's for me. But if I want hamburgers and hot dogs and you want a veggie option, that's not, I'll cook it. That's fine. But you got to bring it. So that's one.
Yes.
Two, Rick, you mentioned splitting the cost of the entree. To me, the host doesn't have to take on that burden, but should be, it's kind of going back to, we had this conversation about splitting apps and things like that, mm-hmm. where the host, if no one offers to cover the cost of entrees because they brought other stuff, you should be fully expected to take on the cost of the entrees and everything else. You are the host, that's your responsibility. So as long as I think that's pretty.
I would default to that myself. Like, if I'm asking y'all, if whatever option I'm bringing up is what I'm comfortable covering. If through the discussion it comes out we want to get top of the line steaks, then I'll be like, I can do that. If you pay for your steak,
yeah, you pay for your
but steak. But I'd agree, if I'm suggesting an item, I am prepared to cover what I suggest.
Okay. It's the cost of making the decision as the host.
Yeah,
you get to make the decision, so you're gonna have to pony up a little bit of money. Yeah, I get it.
Right.
All right. So for me, what's expected of the host?
Koozies. No.
We can talk about it.
The it's funny because I went through and found a bunch of things that I don't expect the host. Like, I don't expect the host to bring my chair. You know, I don't expect the host to bring my side item. But one thing that I expect
chairs though.
Oh yeah. But yeah, the host can't bring 14 chairs for everybody.
No, you're right.
They can bring a couple. And just like the host always brings a little extra beer or a little extra booze.
Yes,
you can bring a couple extra chairs. But he's not supplying chairs for everybody. One. Yeah, and he's not supplying booze for everybody. He's just got a little extra. But for me, the host is 100% responsible for either finding somebody else to do this or doing it himself. The host is in charge of music, making sure that there is solid music at the tailgate. If the host has no musical, skill or whatever, then that host has to find the person at the tailgate and make sure that it's planned ahead of time. But nobody likes a tailgate where everyone shows up and everyone's like, I guess I can play this random list on my phone because nobody thought of music. No, that's the host's fault. There's always has to be good music at the tailgate. Travis.
Yeah. Ow. Fuck. I just hit my funny bone.
While he's recovering, I'm going to hop in real quick. I agree with the music. I'm not expecting like a tailgate playlist, but I expect sounds. So if you, whether it's Pandora, Spotify, like if you didn't necessarily like plan out your game day playlist, fine, whatever. But yeah, I agree. I expect sounds. Travis, are you okay?
I would like to amend that to.
Or pregame sports radio.
Two things. So you're getting close.
Yeah.
Two things. One is they have to provide the means of audio.
Right.
I'm kind of expecting that they have whatever the sound is coming out of.
Sure.
And two, it doesn't have to be music because it could be another game.
Agreed.
Or
irrelevant
audio.
Both can happen simultaneously. Like the game can be on and music can be going, because keep in mind, every tailgate,
I'm not expecting two speakers,
but I'm not expecting everybody at the tailgate to want to watch whatever game is on, unless it's your game. And then you're just tailgating your own game, which is
but I get what you're saying. But at that point, if you want, for example, we're at a Falcons game, you know, the Bucks are playing at the time, like you're, and if it's our tailgate, you know what you're walking into. If you want to have a separate one, because you know when it gets closer to like pregame, we're probably switching to Falcons pregame, then that's not me on me as the host. That is on you to bring a separate noise generator.
Because the host provided the TV in the game.
Right.
What you're saying?
Essentially, yeah. Yes.
I gotcha. So at least one form of audiovisual entertainment, whether it's a speaker or TV or something like that.
Because I guess that's also just another understood, like the host, if we're not going to the game, which we're assuming we're all, you know, either invested in the game.
Yes.
Like if I'm going to y'all's house and it's a tailgate for X game, don't come in with your game. Want to watch your game, listen to your game so badly, like stay, go away.
You got a phone. You can watch it there.
Right. Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's fine. Or yeah. Sorry.
But you don't get to control the TV
audio.
If the host brings the TV, the host decides what's on the TV. It takes everybody else's ideas into consideration, maybe.
Yeah, sure. Like commercial, we can swap kind of thing. But
yeah.
Sorry.
I want to move on because we got to keep this moving a little bit. I want to know just your personal preference. If you guys are hosting, you're the host in this scenario, right?
Okay.
You guys are hosting a tailgate and I'm going to say a like-minded fan of a team.
Okay.
It doesn't have to be your team. Doesn't have to be even the opponent. Just a like-minded sports fan, right? Comes up to you and says, hey, really appreciate your tailgate. What you got going on? Are you inviting them in to be a part of your tailgate? Obviously, you can have a conversation, but you can kind of like move them along.
So you have to be invited. Now, I'm taking this answer from a perspective that I am outside the stadium in this tailgate.
Can you be inside the stadium and tailgate?
Well, versus your house. Or
it's not a backyard
cookout, like, correct. And maybe you can be inside the stadium, who knows, that could be dope.
I'd be down.
Now if you're next door neighbors and you slowly blend, one thing,
right?
But if you're walking down the road, a tailgate is sacred. It's a sacred space.
Okay.
There's pre-game traditions that are happening. Like this is a planned event. So if I am just walking down the road, like if I want to do like a casual, like cool setup and keep walking, it's like a, hey, how are you? The correct answer is I'm fine, thank you. Not you give them their life story kind of thing. Like if
you're down for a dilly dilly.
Yeah, I'm down for a dilly dilly, you know, a go Dogs, you know, go Noles, whatever you say, go Jackets, whatever it is. And then wave and people keep walking. You cannot approach the tailgate unless invited. Is my stance. So if you're walking down the sidewalk and I reach out to you, like it's almost game time. We're trying to get rid of beer. We're trying to get rid of food. And you're like, hey, anybody want some? Awesome. I'm like them. Then you're welcome. If we're not tailgate neighbors, or if you don't know them,
if the host sees someone, does the dilly dilly, they do something funny and the host wants to invite them in, that's fine.
Yes.
But
or anybody within the group. It's not necessarily only the host who can open the threshold. If you are a part of the tailgate, in my mind, if I think I trust your judgment to, you know, at least have a social interaction. There are some people, if you invite, I may hurry out the door quicker than others.
That's fair.
But in terms of approaching and sharing at least a couple of things, anybody in the tailgate can. Obviously, if the host does it, you know, sit down at the table, break bread.
Ben, what do you think?
Definitely the way I do my tailgates, I am the opposite as far as the fact that The only thing that turns me off about somebody approaching my tailgate is if they have an expectation of getting free food, free drinks, anything like that. But if they want to come up, start talking, they want to join our tailgate, I'd love, like, tailgates for me is sacred in the fact that I meet new people every time I go tailgating. Yeah. It doesn't matter what event, whether it's football, whether it's, you know, it doesn't matter. I love the meeting new people, even if it's me going over to other tailgates and just starting up conversations with a t-shirt or a tent or what's on the TV. But the thing that adds to your argument, Rick, is if you approach my tailgate as a host and you expect food, or you say you've been there 10 seconds, you're like, hey, can I get a beer? Okay, then I don't like you, because you've got to wait for me as the host. Yep. No, I have not. I've started a conversation. I did not offer any stuff that I bought and paid for. I offered you to join the tailgate and have a conversation. And then it's my job as a host to offer, hey, buddy, you want a beer? Hey, buddy, do you want to grab a burger? You don't get to me, those are mutually.
Hold on.
No, they're completely different. You can have the conversation with people. That's the whole point about tailgating. It's a community. There's tailgates everywhere all around you. Go talk to people.
Let me ask you a
question. But don't eat my shit that I paid for.
Let me ask you a question. You said, if, and this is what you said, is you invited them into the tailgate for a conversation.
Yeah.
I started a conversation with them in my tailgate. Yeah.
In your, well, so.
Yeah, but in your circle.
But do you mean in your physical tailgate space or in the atmosphere? You're now a part of my social.
Good question.
Bubble.
What's the physical tailgate space? Inside,
like
the tent,
if you're at your grill or in your chair under your tent.
But if I'm playing cornhole outside of my tent, is that the physical tailgate space? Like you're using like parameters. There's no parameters.
Listen. Don't argue, because we're just learning, right? There's no argument. I'm trying to frame this in a way so I can learn, right? So to me, there's the tailgate area, there's the physical tailgate space, whatever that means, and then there is the tailgate, right? That's the people, that's the atmosphere, that's the you are now part of family, right? You're now in Vin Diesel's table, right? That's two different. You could be on the driveway, but you're not a part of his family. So when you say I've invited them to a conversation in my tailgate, are you saying in the physical space of the tailgate, or you've invited them basically into your family?
If I invite you under the tent, that is the tailgate, like my tailgate space. If I'm stepping out to kind of just walk around and meander, then obviously we're just having conversations. Then I don't expect you to have food. But if I'm talking to you and I bring you under the tent, if I am the stranger in this sense, and then you get defensive about your food, I'm like, all right, well then why are we here? Like, we could have just had a distinct conversation.
Right.
Like, once you come to the point of like trying to get to know the person,
the inner circle, the inner tent, you made it. That's the question, Ben.
Sure. Okay. I get it. Yes. Physical space is a part of it, but my separation, like you're using this term invite as like a one-stop solid only means one thing. It doesn't to me. Like, I'm talking to you, you're walking by, you jumped in my tent to look at the TV, we're having a conversation. I did not invite you to eat my food and drink my beer. Now, if I saw you walking by and I liked your shirt, said, hey, come on over, man, and let's hang out. Okay, then I have invited you in. I get the opportunity to say, hey, you want a beer? You want some food? But if you just kind of walk by and you're looking in, and then we start talking, and then we kind of mosey into that space, I did not invite you in. At the end of the day, though, all of these scenarios doesn't give any person the option to eat or drink what they didn't pay for unless it is specifically offered by the host. I will invite strangers in all day long to the physical space of the tailgate, but that does not include things I paid for unless I offer it to them. Hands down, it's two separate things for me, inviting into the space and inviting them to eat the shit I paid for. Two things.
We can agree to
to disagree. I love it.
Yeah, that's fine. It's fine. No wrong answers here. Last little blurb here you are now a tailgater, right? Maybe not the tailgatee, or maybe not be the host. You are just, you know, you don't necessarily have to worry, because I think that would be a lot of steps. We don't have to go through that. There's a night game, 8 o'clock, 7 o'clock, whatever it is. You're starting your tailgate pretty early, right? You're getting there to the tailgate, 10 o'clock. Lots of time. What's your tailgate strategy? How are you surviving those 6 to 8 hours before the game?
There's no too early for me.
Okay.
Game day is game day, and that is my day until the game is over. Now, so to me, if the game is at 8 o'clock that night and you want to go down at 7 in the morning, I'm in. Let's go.
What are you specifically doing? Like, what if
well, so I am. So if I can convince the group, we're getting down there at 9 a.m.
Right. Let's say that's happened. How are you personally surviving?
Sure.
Until 8 o'clock.
So as Ben mentioned, I too am a big sides man. And also I am a grazer by nature. I will casually have several small meals just, you know, sprinkled throughout the day. And so when we get there, I'm popping the beer and I am knowing thyself, and I'm sprinkling the food and the beer and trying to gain that equilibrium until we get to the game.
So you're trying to, if I can put this in a, I don't want to say category, you are trying to get to a
drunk as possible without missing the game.
Okay. So if I'm going to put it, I'll put it on a scale.
Yeah.
Right. You're not trying to get to a 10, right? You're trying to get about a 6 and trying to maintain the 6 for 8 hours.
Yes.
And whatever that constitutes, yes. You know.
I would like to get to an enjoyable state of inebriated and maintain.
Okay. Ben, how are you surviving a tailgate?
I guess the strategy for me, thinking that we have an elongated tailgate session, sorry to bring back this this not so highlighted time of my life, but you guys were both there. You better know how to puke and rally, because once I hit that tailgate spot, even if I'm drinking for 12 hours, I don't know how to slow down at a tailgate. Like it's an event. It's infectious. And maybe I can make it all day, especially if I'm drinking light beer or something like that. Maybe I can sprinkle in food, but if I can't, I'm just going to have to, I'm not missing the game. So if I got to go puke and rally a little bit and make it back to the game, that's what I'll do. But generally, it doesn't really happen anymore. Most of my tailgates are 5 hours or less before the game. So
that's fair. And I've seen that firsthand. It's incredible, by the way. Very envious, because I'm closer to Rick, because I've tried the puke and rally. I just get tired and one. I just pass out. Not I'm fully there, pass out. But I'm just like, I threw up. I'm wrong. I'm going to go bad. I'm going to go find a nice little spot, curl up, fall asleep for like 18 hours.
You can't get back to the same moment for me. And I assume for you, after you throw up, like
me,
it's a different enjoyment. So
Ben's a different animal though.
He is.
I've seen it. It's incredible.
I'm envious.
I was in my 20s. I don't think I could do it anymore.
Yes.
But I couldn't do it in my 20s. Even in my 20s.
I could never do it. Yeah.
And so my strategy is closer to Rick's. It's really more of a, I don't want to say go hard early, but it's a split event. So what I'll do is I'll get to that 6 to 8, and I'll try to come, I don't want to say come down to a 2 or a 1, but I'll go up early as fast as I can. Like let's shotgun beers. Let's get there at 10 o'clock. And then I'll just kind of like ride that wave down a little bit, get down to like a 3, where I can like, I'm nursing a beer. I'm drinking water. I'm eating some food. I'm not necessarily trying to maintain that 6 or 8. I'm trying to like get down a little bit.
Sure.
So my body can kind of recover. And then like 2 hours before said game, I've rested enough where I can crack open another beer and let's go. So nice. I'm more of a up and slowly decrease, and then up again and slowly decrease versus an up and maintain, because that maintenance for, I'm going to say 8 hours, whatever time, yeah, whatever, is difficult to stay at that level of.
Oh yeah, you got to want it.
Yeah,
I'm going to say drunk, because there's tipsy, drunk, sure, and wasted, right? Right. That's if we're talking three levels. Yeah. I go from drunk to tipsy. Rick tries to stay drunk, and Ben is I'm going to get fucked up. I'm going to get wasted.
Puke, so there's usually some caffeine then, near the end of that process.
Yeah, too. There's always going to be caffeine. Yeah, you and have to have it.
Monster, Red Bull, something.
If we're being real honest about my tailgates, it's probably closer to a tipsy, between drunk and tipsy. But, and then as we get, you know, as, you know, kind of the, I don't know, the 5 hour mark, or, mm-hmm, you know, the pregame, official pregame, like kind of festivities. And then we take it into the drunk level.
Yeah.
And we maintain.
That's fair. I like it. Anything else we want to talk about regarding tailgating? I really want a bratwurst right now.
Dude, no joke.
Okay. All right, guys. Well, this has been Day Drinking. And I like these because they're short and we just get to talk about nonsense for like 20 minutes to 30 minutes. And that's it. We don't have to make any decisions, which is real nice. But if you guys are listening,
I got one more. Honorable mention to a tailgate game, Giant Jenga. And Rick has the most memorable move of Giant Jenga I've ever seen in my life. I've only seen it once live, pulling out the one brick and watching the whole stack fall.
Yeah,
it didn't fall over. Dude, that has been stuck in my brain for, what was that, like a decade ago?
I'm glad I can leave an impression. And to do that move, I had to be a solid, consistent drunk.
Yes, you did. Follow us. Don't follow us. Twitter, YouTube stuff, socials. Remember, this is our podcast and you're just along for the ride. Okay, bye.
Okay, bye.
Day Drinking.